So let's turn to Matthew as a start. Matthew 21, 21 to 22. And I don't know what you guys think when you hear a prayer of faith, and I'd just like to find out what goes through your mind when you hear that term. Just holler out some things that come to your mind when you hear the word prayer of faith. Anybody? Okay. Like a word? A word for somebody? Okay. Mm-hmm. That's good. Anything else? Prayer of faith. Healing, okay. Mm-hmm. Believing without seeing. Trusting. Believe in God. Okay. Trusting God character, knowing Him. That's really good. Miracles. Mm-hmm. I'm jumping right into Matthew 21 here. Some of the background of before this verse, I like to kind of look at who's actually writing this. It's Matthew is writing, and he's a former Jewish cheat. He's a tax collector. And he's writing to Jews. He's one of the disciples. He's writing to Jews who would have known the area as Jesus was talking here. And Matthew is most likely a witness of what happened. He heard the words. So Jesus is traveling with his disciples. And there's at least 12 men. Probably more than that, but at least them. And possibly some of their wives. So they had traveled over a number of days from Galilee towards Jerusalem. It's about 20, 25 miles, and they're walking. And they had been to Jerusalem the day before, and Jesus had just kicked the money changers out of the temple. And they went back to Bethany, about 2 miles for the night, and now they're heading back to Jerusalem the next morning, and they're climbing this hill, steep terrain. And on the way, Jesus sees this fig tree. Goes over to it. He's hungry. He wants some fruit. There's no fruit on it. And he says, he basically kills it. Tells it to wither. And so the disciples are over there kind of checking out this tree and exclaiming over it. And then this is what Jesus says to them. And he's speaking to a group of people who know him. Matthew 21, 21 and 22. Then Jesus told them, I assure you, if you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, may God lift you up and throw you into the sea, and it will happen. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Wow. That's amazing. I'd like to unpack this a little bit. Maybe in a little different language. Jesus was saying here, you men who follow me and around me all the time, there's a very certain reality there that's here. Because you know me. And it has some conditions. Because you need to trust. When you have trust and confidence in me, the person of Jesus, you disciples will be given the ability to act and do things that compare to this fig tree. And yet, in addition, Peter, James, and John, you're going to be given permission to do greater things than this. you men who follow me and have seen everything about me, you're going to be permitted to speak out loud to this mountain and say, go jump in the lake. And it's a certain thing when accepting Christ as the truth. If they possess faith in the person of Jesus, and Jesus is saying this, and in essence he's saying, you trust in me, you have faith in me, you have confidence in me as a Jew, as a deliverer, Messiah, the forgiver. And it's this faith. I don't know about you, when I think about faith, sometimes we just think about it as an idea or as some kind of a mind thing. But this isn't something that's just in the head, something that we make up or work up. But it's something that these disciples could see physically, Jesus, and they could hear him. They could touch him just like this. This faith, this belief was in a person, not in just an idea. Something real. Jesus is the one who gives the ability. You can say to this mountain, it says, you can. Jesus is the one who gives that ability to ask for this mountain to move. The other thing that jumps out at me, like he personalizes the mountain. So he says, you disciples can say this. Mountain, go jump in the lake. And it's God and Jesus who's the one who does the mountain moving. Somehow Jesus wanted the disciples to know and be very certain about that he is over all. He's over all the life of fig trees. He's over all the positions of mountains. All the storms on the lake, all the sickness and disease. He's over all death. So the prayer of faith is really about focusing on the person of who Jesus is. So when we pray this prayer of faith, Jesus is over all. So when we're praying today, picture speaking to a person. Picture speaking to Jesus. Jesus is over all. So the prayer of faith needs to line up, needs to be in line with our knowing him and with who he actually is. I'm going to jump now to Hebrews. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 6. I'm going to jump into the middle of the, or into verse 6. In this book of the Bible, it's again written to the Jews and written by a leader in the church. And possibly second generation believers. It's a little later after the time of Christ. And there's most likely persecution happening. And maybe similar to what's happening in Syria right now. A couple weeks ago, Jaden and I flew to Malaysia to see Alicia and flying over some of those areas and realizing I'm sitting in this plane in one reality and down there is something really different. So I'm going to jump in verse 6. So you see, it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that there is a God and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So he's writing to Jewish Christians. So when he's saying it's impossible to please God, they're thinking of this Jehovah God that they have a written history about in their past. One God over all. It's impossible to please him. There's no possible way to make God happy apart from confidence and trust in who he is, and who he is in Jesus. And this prayer of faith to God can be made by anyone. It says anyone who wants to can come to him, and they must believe that there is a God, and he rewards those. So God doesn't have favorites. In this prayer of faith, we must believe, but it can be anybody, any race, any position, any person in any place. Having faith can pray this. And then it says, anyone who wants to can come to him. And the language that's used here is like, it's a place of being known. Come. Place of being known and loved by God. So here's our Creator who knows us, created us, knows all the intimate details of our lives, Psalm 139 says. We can come believing that he is who God is in Jesus. Believe that God exists. He's real. And then the end there, he rewards those who sincerely or genuinely seek him. So one of the things we need to, we can't just believe that God is real and he's exists, but we need to believe also that God tangibly blesses those people who genuinely search for him. That's part of the prayer of faith, I believe. This prayer of faith is grounded in who God is, knowing and believing and trusting and being blessed by this Jehovah God. Now we're going to jump to James. I think sometimes this passage gets abused and used. And so that's why I'm taking some time to look at some of these other verses, grounding it in who Jesus is, believing in him. James was written by a brother of Jesus, and he was a leader in the Jerusalem church. And again, he's writing to Jewish Christians. I'm not sure why that's standing out to me as I was studying, but all of these books were written specifically to Jews who had an understanding and a knowledge of who God is based on their Old Testament scripture. So I'm going to read James 5. Verse 13 to, I'm going to read to 17 and then, or no, to 18, and then I'll come back and look at a couple of those other verses there. Are any among you suffering? They should keep on praying about it. And those who have reason to be thankful should continually sing praises to the Lord. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And their prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make them well. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results. And Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for the next 3.5 years. Then he prayed for rain, and down it poured. The grass turned green, and the crops began to grow again. So I want to look at 14 and 15 here, in the time that we have left. James, a leader in the Jewish, mostly Jewish church, probably some Gentiles in there too, but Jerusalem. Are any among you sick, he asked. They should call for the elders. And he was speaking about himself. They should call for the leaders of the church. So it looks here like this invitation needs to come from the person who's actually sick. I think that's that matters. The person who's sick needs to be asking for it. Ask for prayer. And anointing with oil is, in the scripture, is often related to the Holy Spirit coming. But it also, in those days, it could be medical. It could be like Luke was a doctor. And so anointing with oil was a way of medically what they knew at that time to do. So calling for the elders, the church, and asking them to pray along with this anointing. So this is the elders having a conversation with God, presenting their request with an open hand, offered in faith. And they're praying in confidence, trusting and believing who Jesus is. Believing in the person of Jesus. And that says, the Lord. So sometimes I think we get this idea, we just need to work up enough faith and maybe we'll get some healing out of this. There's a combination of things here that happens. So the elders pray, and their prayer offered with an open hand, along with the Lord who is able to make them well. But the bottom line is that the Lord is the one who is over it. The Lord is the one who's open over it. So it's the anointing the person in the name of the Lord. So it's the name of Christ. And it's the Lord, along with prayer, that will make the person well. And as these Jewish Christians were hearing these words, they're thinking of Jehovah God, God in Jesus. Particular God. This isn't just any God that they're trusting in. But this God is able to make it happen. This God is the one who is over healing. It's not just an act of faith that heals, it's God. And this prayer of faith is planted in the person of Jesus. It's not something magical. And God somehow allows the posture of our hearts towards him to move his. I don't know. I don't understand how that works. I don't understand even all that this passage means here. because I've been in anointing prayer services where a person wasn't healed, and I have been in places where they have been healed. So we don't always understand God's ways. But I think the prayer of faith, the bottom line is for us to put our confidence and our trust and our faith in who Jesus is. Not just in an idea, but actually in a real physical person who we can speak to. A living person who intercedes for us. So when I think about prayer of faith, number of stories that we have from our family over the years, God answered different times things that we would pray for. Sometimes God would surprise us, but there's times where he didn't. But the bottom line is, can we still trust this person of Jesus as we bring our request to him, believing and trusting who he is and what he's about? And can we have confidence in him that he knows he's with us personally? So as you pray today, as we go through this list that Doug printed out, I think he's going to hand it out. Make it personal. I think sometimes we can go through this prayer thing with a bit of distance, like we're just kind of going through the motion. And this, when I was in Malaysia, there was a very clear picture of people going through prayer motions. 5 times a day, there was a call to prayer, and you could hear it throughout the whole city. Every mall that we went to, you'd go, there'd be a public bathroom, and you go back to the bathroom, there's a prayer room. In the plane we flew in, there was a message on the screen in front of me that said, stay sitting when you pray, so that for safety reasons. So these Muslim followers of Islam, many of them do, some don't, but many of them do. And you'd see them praying faithfully 5 times a day, stopping everything that they were doing to pray, whether they're in the mall, whether they're 5 in the morning. We have so much more to pray for or with than that. So as you pray today, picture Jesus, picture him believing in him, trusting in him. He's this real as you pray. Let's just pray here. Lord, I believe that when we pray, we're praying to a real Jesus, praying to a real God who hears and knows, intercedes for us. And the prayer of faith, Lord, is bottom line, is about trusting that you know and you're with us all the time, every minute. So, Lord, I pray that our confidence, our hope, and our faith, and our trust would be in the person of Jesus here today as we pray, as we call on you, and that we trust not in our prayers, but we trust in you. And somehow you invite us to join you as we pray. And it impacts the posture of our hearts towards you, Lord, as we spend time praying, as we worship. So, Lord, draw us to you today in our prayer time. In Jesus' name, amen.